Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Buscelli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. Remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
It's all right. If you want to clap loud, we wouldn't mind. It's U.S. Open time, the second major of the year. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here in Oakmont with Golf Week's publisher, Alex Buscelli. And Alex, while we want to preview this U.S. Open Championship, certainly a lot went on in the world of golf leading into the U.S. Open. One of the busiest weeks probably of the year so far.
Is that your assessment?
Absolutely my assessment. When you have the Curtis Cup, when you have the ladies major championship PGA going on, when you have the FedEx down at Memphis, just a busy week.
Okay, I'll go with you. Busy week. Not as busy as this week's going to be, though, right? Or let's put it this way. Not as significant as this week is going to be, would you say?
Yeah, that's as much as I hate to agree with you, I would say the Open, U.S. Open, tops that.
I don't know why you hate to agree with me. You generally do, begrudgingly. But, yeah, I mean, look, Curtis Cup, it's always a big thing. Walker Cup, Curtis Cup, I always think are big. U.S. getting trounced with some controversy involved, obviously, talking about slow play. I have to be honest with you, I'm with Robin Burke here. I'm not really sure how you penalize the U.S. team for slow play in a match play format.
Yeah, I mean, that really is an interesting dilemma. And Bronte Law certainly was a large part of that victory.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously the English team is going to, the English team is going to have an advantage. Where really GB and I is going to have an advantage being overseas, and the U.S. is going to have the advantage here. And you know, look, bottom line is that's great. They played well, but I get back to what you seem to be skirting the issue is how do you get penalized for slow play and match play in a Curtis Cup or a Walker Cup or a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup? You shouldn't.
I've never heard of it before, and I guess that's why there's so much to talk about. Speaking of that, we have a lot to cover. We got a motor here to get this all in. Let's go to the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. Certainly looked like Lydia Ko was going to get a third win in a row. Just didn't happen.
Well, I don't think she played well down the stretch. I mean, Brooke Henderson did. She didn't. Brooke Henderson made a great shot in the playoff to basically put all the pressure on Lydia at the end, who she couldn't get it done. Lydia Ko is clearly a quality player on the LPGA Tour, ranked number one in the world, one of the best players out there. But now Brooke Henderson is making a charge, and this is just, I think, maybe just the beginning of Brooke Henderson really trying to figure it out, because she had been played so well getting to this point. Now she wins. It's a huge win for her. And most people are saying it's a huge win for the LPGA. And I think it's because people can maybe relate a little differently to Brooke Henderson, especially in the United States and Canada, than they can to a lot of the Asian players that have come over. Not that there's anything wrong with, you know, wins are wins, but I think that, you know, we are a country that likes to see some of our players win. Canada would love to see some of their players win, and so this was a big win for them.
Yeah, and of course you had her sister Brittany on the bag. Pretty amazing. Brooks makes a hole-in-one, wins a brand-new Kia, and said to Brittany, well, you just won yourself a car. Brittany said, I'm going to hold you to that, so that'll be interesting. Nice move by Brooks Henderson in giving her sister that brand-new automobile. All right, what about on the European Tour, Mr. Buscelli?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of Asian winners, a lot of Chinese winners. Wu Ashan won there in the Lioness Open. And look, again, this is just showing you how big golf has gotten worldwide. This is the first Chinese player to win on the European Tour on European soil. Certainly not the first European Tour winner that's Chinese. There has been some winners, like I said, in China. Vovo China Open had a winner as well. So, you know, big win for Wu, but also I think a big win for golf, because again, it's helping to get us a global sport probably more help. The European Tour has probably done more help in that way than what the Olympics are going to do.
And he was the first Chinese player to win on the European Tour on European soil. All right, no surprise whatsoever, Alex, at the Constellation Senior Players, held at a very prestigious golf club, the Philadelphia Cricket Club. Bernhard Langer won his third consecutive Senior Players Championship by one shot over the most interesting man in the world of golf, Miguel Jimenez, and Joe Durant. Bernhard Langer just continues to amaze.
He does. I was at PGA Seniors, and he played very well except for the final round. I mean, all I'll get to is somehow he's been able to adapt his former putting stroke to the current putting stroke that looks very similar to the previous putting stroke, but supposedly he's legal, and because of that, he's been able to basically get it done. He's clearly the best player on the Champions Tour right now, even at his advanced age.
Yeah, 58 years old. Clearly, not a surprise for him to win the Senior Players Championship. Probably was a surprise, though, down at the FedEx St. Jude Classic. TPC Memphis had to endure a three-hour weather delay on the during the fourth and final round. 23-year-old Daniel Berger, who came so close down at Honda, eventually losing to Padraig Harrington, he comes away with his first PGA Tour victory.
Well, you know, the thing that was most impressive about Berger on Sunday, if you could find it to watch it because of the delays, and it didn't go to the Golf Channel after CBS because of the fact that the KPMG was there, was the fact that he continued to make putts for birdies and for pars to keep Phil Mickelson and the rest of the group at bay. It was never a question, really, down the stretch that Daniel Berger was going to win.
And it's really amazing. The 11th different player to win in his 20s on the PGA Tour this season. 11 different players. That's remarkable.
Why do you say remarkable?
Well, because 11 is a big number in their 20s.
So if it was 9, would it not be big enough?
It would be 2 less than 11.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is that I think this is where this tour is going. This is what you're starting to imagine. This is what Tim Fincham realized a couple years ago. Oh, guess what? We got young players on this tour, and they're good. And that's what we got.
Well, some of the older players certainly did well. How about Steve Stricker with his limited schedule, Alex, coming through playing in fine fashion? Also, Phil Mickelson, probably ideal preparation for this week here at Oakmont because, you know, well-documented. We don't have to say it on the Grill Room, but I will.
What you're going to say it anyway.
I will, just in case somebody is not aware of it. 6 second-place finishes in U.S. Opens, a record by Phil Mickelson, never won the U.S. Open. And, you know, when I think of people that never won, how about Sam Snead, never won a U.S. Open? How about Nancy Lopez, never won a Women's Open? And Phil, the way his game is, Alex, I got to, you know, you got to give Phil a realistic chance here at Oakmont.
Well, I mean, I give him a realistic chance, but there's also about 40 other guys in the field I give a realistic chance to as well. Look, winning a major is not easy. Winning the U.S. Open is very hard, especially this golf course, because things can go awry very quickly and with the high rough and the speed of the greens. So you have to have some luck. And Phil Mickelson in those 6 second-place finishes didn't have the luck that he needed. Hopefully he's got the luck this time.
And, of course, Davis Love, certainly happy. Phil now, number 3 on the current Ryder Cup list. Dustin Johnson, number 2 on the current Ryder Cup list. Brooks Koepka playing very well. Early on, looking very good for the United States Ryder Cup team.
Well, I mean, I think it looks good. But, you know, we've looked good before, and then we've gotten there, and then we've looked bad. So we'll see what happens. The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor and the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60mm golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com. That's GOLPHIN.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfWeek.com, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, TalkSport 2, part of the world's largest sports radio station. We'll be right back to preview the 116th U.S. Open Championship at Oakmont Country Club.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. I'm Bob, he's Alex, and we're here at Oakmont. A couple of facts, Alex, about this championship course. Going to play at 72-19 to a par 70. It's a big boys golf course.
Well, yeah, I mean, the 7,200 doesn't seem that long, Bob, for venues. I mean, I think we've been up to 7,500, 7,600 at major championships in the past, especially PGAs. But this is a par 70, which makes a difference. And you know, people will look at it on television and say, well, those fairways don't look too narrow. Well, they're not extremely narrow, but the problem is that you only can hit about half of it. The other half of it is going to kick you into the rough or kick you into a bunker, and that makes a difference. So it makes it a much narrower driving golf course. And then, you know, if you get in that rough, I'm not going to say it's necessarily punch out, but it's punch out.
Well, for our listeners, so they get some feel and flavor of what the best players in the world are going to be facing this year. We got a par 5 on the golf course, 667 yards. We got a par 3 on the golf course, 288 yards. So just put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And it's not even – I mean, there is a tee marker back at 300. I was out there the other day with Jordan.
Oh, they put that in for you.
And where he was standing – and where he was standing with a club in his hand hitting a ball said 300 on the tee marker.
300-yard par 3. Well, I don't know what it's coming to. How about the number of entries? Really exciting. 9,877 golfers entered this tournament. That's the third highest total in U.S. Open history.
Well, you know what? Coming to Oakmont is exciting. It's like going to Pebble Beach or going to Shinnecock. I don't know if you'll have the same. I don't know if you had the same number going to Chambers Bay, and I'm not sure you'll have the same number going to Erin Hills, but you know, the golf course or the venue itself is what drives the entries.
And, of course, ninth U.S. Open played here at Oakmont. Last winner was none other than Angel Cabrera. He did that, what, 2009?
2007.
2007. Wow, 2 years before I thought it was.
You know what? It's an interesting – well, I know you're not good with numbers, but the interesting fact is, as I was looking last night at Cabrera, in the first and fourth rounds – he only had 28 putts. Both rounds shot 69 with 28 putts.
I'll tell you one thing. If you can keep your putt total anywhere between 25 and 30 on this golf course, because of the size of the greens and because of the quickness of the greens, Alex, that's a total you have to strive for.
Well, there's no question about that. I know that striving and greens are something that Jordan Spieth has talked a lot about in his pre-tournament press conference. Let's give a listen to Jordan talking about these greens.
Very much speed-based. You really just have to be careful. You can't let your mind slip on these greens for one moment, or else you're going to be left with possibly a, you know, 10 to 15 footer on the next putt, if not worse. So really have to be conscious of it. I think they putt very similar to Augusta, and that some places are more severe.
So Jordan Spieth summing it up brilliantly, saying that concentration certainly a must when you're on the greens, a little slip. And when you think that, they have to keep in mind, you know, certainly somebody like Jordan Spieth, you know, he had won the Masters before he won the U.S. Open last year. But let's say somebody coming down the stretch that has no major titles, maybe doesn't even have a title, and what he's going to get if he wins the U.S. Open? A U.S. Open exemption for 10 years. He gets in the Masters for the next 5 years, next five Open championships, next five PGA championships, next five Players championships, and he's exempt on the PGA Tour, Alex, for 5 years, which might be the biggest prize of all.
Well, I mean, there's certainly a benefit, but I'm assuming if this player has gotten to this level and won this tournament, the exemptions probably are not that important, but you never really know what's going to happen. You know, we talked a little bit about the rough and the fairways, Bob, and the rough, rather, outside the fairways and the narrowest of the fairways. And again, Jordan Spieth had an opportunity to talk about that as well. And I think the thing that you need to understand about this golf course is that it looks beautiful, but it is so treacherous. And I think that's what Jordan is talking about.
You got to put the ball in the fairway off the tee here, or else it's so hard just to hit it around the green, let alone on the green. But I think hitting the fairways are going to be fairways are first cut. The first cut's nice out here, and it will hold the ball up from going into that thick rough. Fairways are first cut, I think, is the most important statistic for me to focus on this week.
So he's right about that, Alex. I mean, if you don't keep it in the fairway here at Oakmont, if you're lucky, you may get a good lie in that rough, but you certainly can't count on it.
Well, the thing that's interesting about these guys is because of their length, they're used to playing out of the rough. But here's the question to you, and a question that I've talked to some people about before. Would you rather be in the middle of the fairway 200 yards out, or would you rather be in the rough and maybe have a nine or a wedge in?
Well, depending on the lie, I guarantee you.
Well, there's no way you're going to get a good lie here.
All right. A bad lie from 150 yards, I think the player with the middle of the fairway 200 yards, I think he's going to take that 200-yard shot every time.
Which is why I think you're going to see a lot less drivers off the tee, where I think you're going to see driving irons and some other fairway woods, because that's the imperative. You have to be in the fairway.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see with the bombers that can really move that golf ball. You know, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau, guys that can hit it 9 million miles. Are they just going to say, hey, I'm going to take my chances. If I have a great driving week, I may come away with a U.S. Open title. Or are they going to lay back, as you alluded to, maybe using three woods, maybe using driving irons off the tee? That's going to be the mental challenge.
Well, the one guy I know that used driver no matter what and had success here in 2007, and really the only place he's had success in the U.S. Open has been Bubba Watson, who loves to hit driver no matter what, feels like he can control that club the best. And he loves this kind of golf course because it's right all in front of him. And like I said, he played very well in 2007, finishing top 10, his best finish ever in the U.S. Open.
So it's certainly going to be interesting. We got so much to talk about as we get set to play this U.S. Open Championship. I think a nice touch by the United States Golf Association, Alex. Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, both serving as honorary co-chairmen. Of course, the year was 1962 at Oakmont when 22-year-old Jack Nicklaus defeated Arnold Palmer in an 18-hole playoff, and it was the first win for Jack Nicklaus as a professional.
Well, you know, it shouldn't have been his first one because he probably should have won at Cherry Hills. If you talked to Ben Hogan, he probably would have said that Jack Nicklaus should have won at Cherry Hills. But, you know, again, it's all about luck. It's being in the right place at the right time and getting the right bounces. And Jack Nicklaus was not only skilled but very lucky at times as well.
Speaking of luck and being in the right places, I certainly considered it very fortunate for me in 1994 when Arnold Palmer was playing in his last U.S. Open right here at Oakmont, being a Pennsylvania native son, the raw Mr. Maselli for Arnold Palmer, coming up the 18th hole on Friday afternoon because he wasn't going to make the cut. Standing ovation from the time he walked onto that 18th tee to the time he walked off the 18th green. It really, I had goosebumps up and down my arms. It was a sight to behold.
Well, you know, unfortunately, Arnold Palmer's not here this week. Normally he would have been here, but you know, he's just not healthy enough to make the trip, and which is the sad part of the equation. But, yeah, he's beloved around this area. I mean, his home in Latrobe is only about an hour away, and it's unfortunate. But you can understand the affection because he really brought the state of Pennsylvania and golf together, making it the home of Arnold Palmer.
Realistically, I would say there were 40,000 people on that 18th hole that day at Oakmont. And now that number, if you talk to everybody that loves golf, so many say, oh, yeah, I was there that day. It's probably over 250,000, the number of people that said they were there that day. But they really were just there in heart.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. You know, let's talk about the possible contenders, Bob, and I mean the one on top of the board, even though he's not the favorite in Vegas, is Jordan Spieth, defending champion. Probably should have three majors right now as we come here, but only has two after what happened at Augusta. Where do you put Spieth in the equation?
I still do not like the way he's striking a golf ball. I don't like his mechanics. He continues to prove me wrong. He wins big at Colonial, bouncing back after the disaster at the Masters. So he seems to be fully recovered. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, Alex. I can't wrap my head around a golfer, my hands around a golfer that, you know, relies on making 20, 25-foot putts on a regular basis. And hey, you know, if he can do that this week on these greens, man, I'll reverse my position.
Well, I guess the question is, when is it luck and when is it just form, part of the normal form for him? And I think he's been doing it long enough that it's pretty clear it's part of his repertoire.
Yeah, but how long can you keep that up?
Well, you know, look, the reason he didn't win at Augusta had nothing to do with his putter, did it?
No, absolutely, but his putter kept him. It got him into the position that it was. You know that he had that 5-shot lead when he began the back nine at the Masters. But the ball striking just went there. And if he's going to miss hit drives here or miss hit driving irons, he's not going to recover.
Okay, so you don't like Spieth?
I don't like Spieth's chances. That's
okay.
All I'm saying.
All right, let's go to Jason Day.
Jason Day is in a different category. I mean, you look at Jason Day, you look at his form, Alex, you look at his ball flight, you look at everything about Jason Day, and it says, hey, he should win at Oakmont.
Okay, but the problem is with Jason Day, I think, is that we get games, we get weeks where he plays great and weeks where he doesn't. I'm not saying this isn't the week. He's number one in the world. He certainly is the favorite in Vegas. But I think that I'm not sure that we're going to see everything we need to see from Jason Day. I mean, I looked at him at Memorial, and you think he'd play well, and then he has these off days. So we'll see what happens. Rory McIlroy, who is just bombing the ball, probably the best driver of the three, but yet has struggled with all aspects of his game, but yet won in Ireland. Where do you put him?
Well, I like the fact that Rory McIlroy has switched his putting back to the conventional way. You remember we did a show down at Doral, for the Cadillac World Championship event. That's where Rory announced to us in the media that he had made a putting change. I was not in favor of it. I felt that, you know, he was such a great putter, won four majors putting conventional. Why the switch? Apparently, he found out that, hey, maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, and he's back to conventional. You got to like his chances.
Danny Willett, Masters champion.
Hey, he surprised everybody at the Masters, Alex. But, you know, he was number 12 in the world when he won the Masters. So he's certainly capable of backing it up. Last year, Jordan Spieth won the first two majors. Who's to say Danny Willett can't do it this year?
Okay, I think we talked a little bit about Mickelson and playing well last week and what your thoughts were there. And then Dustin Johnson, who also played well at the end last week, who gets himself in position a lot in majors and then finds a way to give it up. Your thoughts?
Well, I was on several European golf outlets earlier this week, and Dustin Johnson, which I'm going to announce at the end of the Grill Room show here as we preview it, the fact that I think Dustin Johnson is going to come away with his first major championship. I like how far he's hitting the golf ball, and I just think, you know, he can't continue to have bad breaks. I like the chances of Dustin Johnson.
Okay, well, I'm assuming now you're making your pick.
Well, go ahead. You make yours.
Well, mine is Jordan Spieth.
You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding me.
Mine is Jordan Spieth.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I understand that. You keep saying that, but that doesn't change my pick. Mine is Jordan Spieth. Yours is Dustin Johnson. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, you want to know why mine is Jordan Spieth?
Yeah, because I'm getting back up into my seat. You knocked me to the floor with that pick.
Well, I think you need to go out and spend some time with him and watch him play right now. I mean, the 1-2 weeks ago, okay? Not only that, I went out and played. I walked 9 holes with him on Sunday, and everything he did showed me that he can play this golf course and has control over his golf ball. That's all you need. If you can control your golf ball here, that is all you need, and he was able to do that with no question.
But that was on Sunday. That's not when the bell rings. Those flaws mechanically in his swing with the flying elbow and with laying it off a little bit at the top, they have to manifest themselves. I love Jordan Spieth, and I don't want our listeners to think that I'm anti-Jordan Spieth in any way, shape, or form, because I'm not. I met him at 16 years old at the Byron Nelson. I know his mother and father. I know his sister. I mean, there's nothing that I don't like about Jordan Spieth other than
his swing.
His swing. You're right. I mean, I have to be honest. I mean, that's what our listeners want on the Grill Room. They want honesty. I don't like his swing, and I don't think it can hold up.
Let's give a little shout-out to the superintendent here at Oakmont Country Club, John Zimmer, who has done an unbelievable job. The course is in impeccable shape. I was talking to John Jennings, who's the superintendent at Shinnecock, and he certainly knows about impeccable shape. And he said, this place is unbelievable, which is clearly the case. You go out there, everything is exactly as you'd wanted if you were the USGA and going ahead and hosting a U.S. Open. So a big shout-out to him. And I think, Bob, that's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard in TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2, powered by GolfWeek.com.
And a big thank you to our partners. You mentioned them, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, the Golfin, innovative clubs for all ages. Remember, beginners to winners. That's their goal. And the GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Do us a favor, follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. And also, if you'd be kind enough to like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.